At times, sure, it can be overwhelming, straining your finances, your health, and even family relationships. I know because every day families call us for help, stressed to no end because of a timeshare they were misled into buying and can't even use. Some people even get second jobs or come out of retirement just to pay for fees that go on forever. I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help good folks out of bad timeshare deals. And our mission is working. To date, we've helped over 40,000 families achieve timeshare freedom. Give me a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free exit info kit. 800-995-2929. 800-995-2929. 800-995-2929.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Olbinger. Donald Trump's former lawyer is testifying in the former president's hush money trial. Michael Cohen told jurors about his close relationship with Mr. Trump and what he would do to keep him happy.
Employees at the Trump Organization, not in a complimentary way, would refer to him as Michael Trump because he thought he was a member of the family in the way he acted. And a lot of people did not understand what he did.
ABC's John Santucci covering the trial. The former president isn't the only political figure in court today. U.S. Senator Bob Menendez is on hand for the start of jury selection in his corruption trial. The New Jersey Democrat is accused of taking money and gifts from foreign business people in exchange for favors. Parts of Baltimore's damaged Key Bridge will be removed tonight. The Dolly cargo ship, which rammed the span back in March, is still under the wreckage. This is ABC News. A grim remembrance in Buffalo, New York, after a deadly supermarket massacre.
This week marks 2 years since a self-described white supremacist targeted and killed 10 African Americans at Top Supermarket in Buffalo. Since then, an ABC News analysis of the most recent FBI data shows that of the more than 8,500 hate crimes reported between 2020 and 2022, black people were targeted 52% of the time. Activists want the Emmett Till anti-lynching law expanded to include racially motivated mass shootings, while also putting social media companies on the hook for how their platforms may contribute to a mass shooter's motivation. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The solar storms producing the northern lights are great for stargazers, but they're causing havoc to farmers. The events are messing with the GPS and tractors. A farmer in South Dakota described his as going in circles after the automatic steering malfunctioned. Daria Olbinger, ABC News.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Wine, spirits, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes. With thousands of bottles that you get to explore, Total Wine has everything you need and more. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
What seems to be the problem?
Doctor, thank God. My husband found out Cricket Wireless has 5G plans for $15 a month, and his jaw just dropped.
Oh. Did he hear about Cricket's blazing fast 5G?
Yep.
Uh-huh. What about their reliable nationwide coverage?
Yes, that too.
Uh-huh. I see. Unfortunately, there's no cure.
Oh.
But you will have really fast 5G.
Get jaw-droppingly fast 5G for $15 a month. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Video may be limited to SD. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. Subject to change. See store for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Canadian wildfire smoke returns to Wisconsin. The State Department of Natural Resources says the entire state could be impacted by the smoke today after issuing an air quality advisory over the weekend. The agency says as the smoke plume moves from northwest Wisconsin into the southeast portion behind a cold front, the air quality index may reach unhealthy levels. They advise those with heart or lung disease, older adults, and children to avoid prolonged or heavy exertion and limit time outdoors. The DNR says they'll reassess the state's air quality this morning. The student protester encampment at UW-Milwaukee's campus will be coming down soon. School administrators and protesters reached an agreement Sunday night. The pact has the university calling for a ceasefire in Gaza and the release of all hostages. A meeting between students and leaders of the UWM Foundation will also be set up to discuss the protesters' demands, including a review of the foundation's investments. The agreement also states the encampment must be removed by Tuesday morning. It comes after pro-Palestinian protesters at UW-Madison agreed Friday to clear their encampment. The president of Microsoft has a personal connection to its new AI campus in Racine County. Brad Smith spoke of that at last week's groundbreaking in Mount Pleasant.
As some of you know, I love this project for one very particular reason, among others. From the age of 9 to 14, I literally live just 3 miles from here. Our family dog came from a farm that's now part of the land on which we are building this data center.
Smith said partnering with Gateway Technical College will train more than 1,000 people to fill jobs at the new facility. He also said they'll train 100,000 people by the end of the decade.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN radio at 1430 AM and now at 107.3 FM. Call 672-8989 today.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Widespread haze expected today as Canadian wildfire smoke has moved in. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs hitting the mid-70s. Breezy winds tonight and through tomorrow pull our highs to the upper 60s, but leave us with abundant sunshine. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Futures under pressure to start the week.
Live from quite the start to the week via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net. Later, Kerry Artek from ArtekAdvisory.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, it really hasn't improved much up here for the weather since we last talked, my friend.
I'm looking at mine right now. It's exactly the same from
is it really?
When we talked last. 66 degrees, cloudy, rain starting soon.
See, we've actually warmed up. We've gotten to 69.
Whoa.
69 degrees, yeah, but it's still cloudy. I don't think it's supposed to rain anytime soon, but it's just one of those damp, dark, dreary spring days that in a year like what we're having is getting a little old. Mm-hmm. Jeez, I can't believe I'm saying that, but it is. It's getting a little old. Yeah. There you have it. There. Yeah. There. I said it.
Let it out. Let it out. Don't hold that in.
I can't. I can't hardly do it anymore. Mm-hmm. No, that's right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We've got Jim McCormick on the show today. I'm always looking forward to those conversations with Jim. Kerry Artek at the end of the show is, you know, we've crossed a couple of those resistance levels that we were watching. Mm-hmm. And that corn situation has turned very interesting with the market climbing above some of those resistance levels. So we'll see what Kerry thinks about that.
Hey, you know what else is interesting?
At the end of the show. What?
Yeah. Competitions and the winners thereof. I find that very interesting. Yeah. Have you been to any competitions of note lately?
Well, thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. Eastern Iowa Taxidermy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You would think that that's probably some sort of a taxidermy competition.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We entered a team. We entered a team at the Cascade Iowa Wing Fest.
Wing
this
Fest.
Weekend. Wing Fest, as okay. in Chicken Wing Fest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody operated under the same set of rules. Everybody got the same boxes of wings. Mm-hmm. Everybody had I will say that we were without a doubt the least experienced team.
Oh, okay.
The least experienced okay. team.
Up and comers, one might say.
We must be. We must be because we walked away with the judge's choice for overall best wing.
Woo-hoo!
and people's choice.
See. That, now, that one makes sense. The judge's choice, that's icing on the cake. But if you hadn't gotten people's choice,
you really win? Do
and
you
who
really
are
win
those
if you don't
people?
Get, that's yeah. right. That's right. Yeah. So, congratulations to Tom and to Bailey Flory,
yeah.
Eastern Iowa Taxidermy, and their entry in the Wing Fest.
That's very exciting. Congratulations.
I manned the fryer. I was in charge
of
the fryer.
Oh, you did? Excellent work. Yeah.
Thank you.
Proud
Thank
of you.
You. All right, let's get to it.
Wheat futures lower in the overnight session, rallied sharply in the day session to add on to the upside momentum that began with Friday's rally in wheat. Today's close above $7 in July HRW futures was the first since October 9. July SRW wheat closed at the highest level since August 23, opening additional upside potential. Export inspections of wheat in the weekend of May 9, just over 366,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectation. Global production concerns generated the buying interest. Russia's wheat crop has been threatened by spring freezes, while the crops in eastern Ukraine and western Kazakhstan are dealing with drought. July HRW wheat futures 26¾ cents higher at $7 even. July SRW wheat up 23.5, 687. July spring wheat closed at 738¼, up 18¼ cents.
Global crop issues are an igniter in these markets sometimes, and wheat's got some.
Yep, indeed. Corn export inspections weekended May 9 totaled nearly 938,000 metric tons, and that was also in line with trade expectations. Planting delays in the U.S. Midwest limited selling interest and offset potential price pressure from expected rains in Brazil's Safrinha corn crop region. July corn opened lower and traded under pressure overnight, then rallied on spillover support from the rally in wheat futures. July corn closed above resistance at last week's high and at the highest level since January 11. July corn futures 2¾ cents higher, 472.5. September corn up 1¾ cents to 481¾. December corn futures closed at 493, up a penny on the day. The corn market's sneaking higher here.
It is. It is. I'm interested in what Jim has to say about the momentum to the upside in this market.
Soybean export inspections weekended May 9, 406,000 metric tons, and that was at the top of trade expectations. That helped bean prices recover from overnight price pressure. More heavy rains in southern Brazil caused more harvest delays. It raised concerns about crop quality. Planting delays in the United States also limited selling interest in the soy complex, although bean prices remain well below resistance at last week's high. Today's soy complex trade was also featured liquidation of long meal short soybean oil spreads. July beans a half cent higher at 12.19½. August up 3 cents, 12.23½. November beans closed at 12.12¼, up 6½ cents, Chip.
All right. Yeah, we had July soybean meal today down $5.40 a ton. July bean oil was up 71 points. So, all right, we'll finish up the markets when we get back. Let's bring Jack in. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, having a great time. It was a beautiful morning here in Chicago, starting to cloud over now, and looks like we're going to have some rain this afternoon. And that's really the last thing we need. We had a bunch of rain over the weekend, so we don't need any more, but we're going to get it.
Yep. Yep. We don't have a whole lot of choice in it, that's for sure. Jack, is that part of the reason that this corn market and the soybean market is starting, they're starting to work to the upside or have worked?
Yes, I think so. Trends are turning up. So, yeah, they have worked to the upside. And I think when you look at it, especially the spreads today, the new crop outpacing the old crop is a definite indication of two things. One, producers do have some corn and soybeans to get rid of on the way up. So I think some of that selling is going on probably. But the other part is that when you focus on the weather, it's a new crop thing. So the new crop definitely outpacing the old.
Yeah. And then the rally in the wheat market is certainly helping out corn and soybeans. It's got to be. It's lifting a weight off of corn in particular, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's all because of the Russian frost situation. I'm not too sure that we're doing anything to inhibit the export pace from Russia, but it's certainly not helping production prospects at all. And the more the production prospects drop, the better chances we have that Russia won't be nearly as aggressive an exporter in the world wheat markets, and that means better prices for everybody.
Jack, give me 10 seconds on this. You like the upside momentum in corn?
Yeah, I do. I think there's more to go. I think we're going to probably put a 5 in front of it sooner or later. We may not do a whole lot more than that, but I do think we're going at least that high.
Good stuff, Jack. Thanks, buddy. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group, with us every Monday afternoon. Coming up next, Jim McCormick, AgMarket.net.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry in harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us. Hey, before we get to the conversation with Jim McCormick, Davis, if you would, go ahead and finish up those markets.
Sure thing. We'll start with July cotton, 32 cents higher. today, 77.63. On your livestocks quickly, June live cattle opened slightly higher and near mid-range, spiked resistance at Friday's high, fell back to post a low-range close, $3.71 rally in heavyweight choice graded box beef values this morning helped stall that selling pressure. June fats down 57.5, 175.57.5 in August. Feeder futures up 45 to 251.35. Cutout values on the pork side also rallied this morning. Carcass prices up $1.58 from Friday. Still, June hogs closed under 97.50 for the first time since Feb 14. June hogs today, 90 cents lower, 97.47.5. October contract down 82.5 cents to 83.87.5. Chip.
Yeah, still waiting for the settlement on the Class 3 milk, but I just noticed June contract up 75 cents today, 21.26. So a big move to the upside. Limit up in the June contract, 33 cents higher in the July at 20.23. August up 20 cents at 19.74. So some strength in the Class 3 milk futures today as well. All right. Let's get to Jim McCormick, agmarket.net. How are you, buddy? It's good to talk with you again.
I'm doing well, Chip. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Good, good. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Just, I want to start with your general attitude, Jim, because wheat market obviously has some upside momentum. Corn is not far behind that. Soybeans, still trying to get, well, we're quite a bit below last week's high even in beans, but corn out to new highs, wheat out to new highs. It's impressive moves.
Exactly. And I would argue wheat is definitely the leader. It's probably got the most bullish story at the moment. As you mentioned earlier, you've got the frost freeze going on in Russia. You've got other production problems in the Ukraine. You know, I didn't even argue here in the United States. Gonna be a little bit interesting. I mean, I was down in southern Indiana, my hometown, Seymour, Indiana. I was over down there visiting my mom for Mother's Day, and the wheat down there looks really, really good. But man, there's a lot of rain in the forecast for southern Indiana, Illinois, and you know, people are getting a little bit worried about quality. And some of the rain continues to miss the western corn belt. So the supply situation, Chip, is definitely up in the air. But I think the real wild card that I'm watching is India.
Oh.
You know, India, one of the most populous countries in the world. They traditionally are self-sufficient in wheat. They don't import wheat, but they don't export wheat. They said they're going to export a little bit of wheat during the beginning of the Ukrainian war, but in general, they don't play in the international market. They have driven their stocks, domestic stocks, something like 18-year lows, because what they're doing is kind of what our administration did. Our administration sold oil as a way to drive down the price of gas. They sold their wheat stocks out as a way to drive down food, because they're both just like us in an election cycle.
Yep.
But
okay.
If their wheat crop stumbles, or essentially they have to go into the international market to rebuild their stocks or buy stocks to essentially turn around and sell to their people, that could be a game changer. So you've got a world buyer that could come into the market that's normally not there, combined with a tightening world supply. The wheat could be the surprise of the markets near term, I'd say, for that reason.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about this just a bit more, because this – in India's, you're exactly right in describing it as a wild card. When they come in and start buying wheat and taking significant tonnage, and by that I only mean 3, 4, 5 million ton, that's all they really need to buy to kind of change the demand side of the balance sheet. Is there the potential that they could buy that much, call it 5 million ton?
They could. I mean, they could buy 5, 7. I mean, you don't know. Right now, they say they're not going to buy any. But, of course, why would you if you, you know, if that is their goal to do it? They're not going to advertise it. But we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, they get nervous about world supply. I mean, if you look back historically, Chip, in general, a lot of people have had revolutions of people in power. It had to do with the price of wheat. Sure. You know, the French Revolution started with the price of wheat. That Arab Spring, a lot of that had to do with the price of food going up. So, you know, people in power are very cognizant of food. That's why you hear everyone talk about food prices in the United States, and they're very worried about it. So, no, this could have an impact. And what happens is when they come in and buy a bunch of wheat, even 3, 5, 6 million metric tons, now they're competing with India or somebody else Egypt or somebody like that, who normally doesn't have to compete with them. All of a sudden, they've got to compete with a scarcer resource, and it drives prices higher.
Yeah, Yeah. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be U.S. wheat that they buy. If it was, if we were talking about corn or soybeans, I would say, but if it doesn't turn into more demand for U.S. supplies, then is it really all that supportive? But with wheat, all it is wheat coming off of the global balance sheet seems to be reflected, and the U.S. wheat market seems very willing to reflect those changes to the global balance sheet, right?
They do, exactly. And then, you know, you got the fund traders. If you look at the index funds, they're starting to buy commodities again. So you get the whole, you know, there's an argument. You're starting to see kind of an inflation trade coming in. Remember, the funds really love commodities there at the beginning when inflation was running and rampant. And then when the Fed stepped in, Chip, and essentially did everything they can to stop out inflation, the funds ran away from commodities. Now they're starting to come back in. They bought gold. They bought silver. Look at the soft markets, cocoa, you know, some of these other markets. You've seen explosive moves higher. Maybe it just might be the grain market's turn, especially if, like I said, the supply situation tightens up. And, you know, the wheat looks like it. If you look at, to me, the world balance sheet, the world stocks use in wheat, especially when you take China out of the equation, it's some of the lowest stocks use we're projected to see in the last 20 years. So the wheat could be the canary in the coal mine as to the funds really get excited about owning, you know, CBOT grains.
Jim, I'm telling you, aggressive fund buying in the grains on an inflation play, part two, would be a move that not many saw coming 6 months ago, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, just because you're seeing hints of it, it definitely doesn't mean they're actually going to do it. So I don't want to come out there and say, hey, McCormick says that they're going to come in and play the inflation game. I definitely don't want, but you're just seeing certain things coming out there. We've got a CPI number, a PPI number coming out there, and we're seeing this inflation just is not getting under control like the Fed wants it to. And, you know, the market participants kind of exited thinking they were going to get a hold of it. And now that they haven't been able to wrestle it all the way back, that genie back into the bottle, yeah, it seems to be perking their interest to come back in into this pit. Kind of exciting, right? Potentially.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. You know, and I would like to have this conversation about the funds, because it seems like sometimes when we talk about the funds and their impact on the markets, somebody out there is going to say, you know, like the funds can set the price of the grains. I'm not saying that they're setting the price of the grains. I am saying that they are influencing day-to-day price action. And if the funds can influence day-to-day price action, they can influence trends that are happening in the grain markets. That's why we talk about the funds. Price is determined, my opinion, by fundamentals. Period, end of story. But the day-to-day, we got to keep track of what these funds are doing, or you can lose track of the trends in the market. I mean, it can happen in a relatively short period of time, Jim.
You've nailed it. You're right. I'm like you, Tripp. I am a fundamentalist. Blame my Aggie Con Ag business degree from Purdue University. That is why I'm at. But you've got to watch the funds. I mean, the reality is the funds are kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. And that's, yep, you know, if you are short corn right now, or you're a producer, I should say this, and did not get corn sold earlier in the year, it is the funds that are giving you this run. The funds came in and bought 115,000 corn last week. I think it's the fourth largest short covering move ever. The beans is a little over 107,000. That's the largest. Now, the funds covered it. If you're an end user or commercial, they didn't want the prices to go higher. Right. The commercials would like to, you know what I mean? So it was the funds that gave us the rally. They, like I said, they don't dictate the price, but they just play momentum. And, you know, I think they're going to short cover out of it. Will they build a length into it? It wouldn't surprise me, but you see how this game goes. They go long, they go short, they go long, they go short. I like to I call them sharks. You know, they're like a shark. They got to, mm-hmm, keep moving. You know, if you got money with a fund, he's either going to be selling it or he's going to be buying it. We just try to watch them because they will drag the market to certain directions, to extremes, and then they'll reverse it. It's just, yeah, the way the business is done.
Yep, and that's the markets have reacted to their activity and the movement of that money. It's got to react. when we're talking about the volume of trade that they generate, the markets have to react to it, and that's why we need to keep up with what is happening in there. Wow! Holy smokes, that went by in a flash. I was going to jump straight forward into the weather, but we're going to have to wait until we're done with this break. Jim McCormick, agmarket.net. We had the supply and demand report on Friday. I want to get Jim's take on that, and then let's start looking forward to where some of the adjustments on the supply side of the balance sheet might be happening.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 26 and three quarters of 1 cent higher at $7 even. July SRW wheat up 23 and one half cents to 687. July corn futures 2¾ cents higher, 472 and a half. December corn futures closed at 493. That's up a penny today. July soybean futures were a half cent higher, but 1219 and a half. November beans closed at 12.12 and one quarter. That's up 6½ cents. July cotton today, 32 cents higher, 77.63. On your livestocks, June fat cattle down 57 and one half at 175.57 and one half. August feeders up 45 cents to 251.35. June lean hog futures today, 90 cents lower at 97.47. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Widespread haze expected today as Canadian wildfire smoke has moved in. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs hitting the mid-70s. Breezy winds tonight and through tomorrow pull our highs to the upper 60s, but leave us with abundant sunshine. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Under the ice and snow, from the midnight sun, where the hearts may go.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you have decided to rejoin us at the bottom of the hour. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net. Jim's supply and demand report on Friday from USDA. Old crop update. First official look at the new crop numbers. What'd you think?
A little bit of bullish surprise, to be quite honest. We thought they would, you know, raise demand a little bit, but to raise it 100 million, that was a little bit more than we were anticipating, but we were happy about it. Dropping that carry out closer to 2.1 is definitely what we want to see. And that tighter carry in for the 2024-25 combined with that acreage, you know, you're not looking at much of a change with the current balance sheet. I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing that rally on Friday and a little bit of continuation there, because I think the one argument a lot of people are going to make is, you know, especially with a new crop, well, there's just no way we're going to have that one, you know, that 181 national trend yield line yield.
Right.
And with as late as it is, and I would agree that does seem a little bit optimistic just based on how wet it is here in northern Illinois and parts of the eastern Corn Belt. You know, the 3-year average is more like 175.8. That seems a little bit more realistic. And you know, that, you know, we'll see. Yield is going to be up for debate. But the other thing is acreage. Acreage is at 90 million. I would argue, yeah. Chip, I think that number is a little bit too low. I do think it's not that the planning, it's just I think when we surveyed that farmer back in March, the prices are at multiple year lows. And I think he was just, honestly, he's just in kind of a growly mood when he filled out that sheet. Said the heck with it. I'm planting beans. And I think, you know, more, you know, once he sat down and talked to his banker, talked to the seed corn, he went more likely, assuming the weather's going to cooperate, he's going to go right back to that normal rotation. So, like I said, I think the yields will come down. The acres will come back up. Demand is always a wild card, trying to guess a year and a half out. But the big picture, what you want to take away from it, Chip, is you're looking around a 14% stocks to use. If you look at recent history, from 2014-15 all the way to 2018-19, you had stocks use around 12 to 15% in corn, and eventually work below 4, closer to 350. So if those stocks use hang around 14%, no matter how we get there, I would argue $5 corn is a sell for that reason.
Yeah, okay. That's the point that I wanted to get to you said we've got the rally that is happening. Part of that is due to the repositioning, the short covering by the professional trading funds. But is there the next move, if there is a next move, is going to have to be some of that fund money moving from short to neutral and neutral to long. I don't know if we've seen what needs to happen to move that money to the long side of the market yet. Have we?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think neutral may be where they're at, and then they may pause and see how the summer weather looks. If we end up having a hot, dry summer like some of the models are forecasting, then they may put it into that higher gear and really come in here and get aggressive buying. But like when you look at the balance sheet right now, they got squeezed out. They may just say, look, you know, we did one trade, move on to the next trade. Overall, you know, we've got a comfortable supply. The bean balance sheet's even worse. The fact of the matter is, when you're looking at a bean carryout at 340 this year, ballooning up to 445, if anything, you might throw a few more bean acres in because of how wet it is. And then, you know, we have no clue what the South America crop is. I mean, the difference between the South Americans' viewpoint of their crop and the Americans is a mile wide. But to add to confusion, now the Chinese are saying, hey, we're only going to import a little less than 95 million metric tons of beans. The USDA says, oh, no, you're not. You're going to do 109. On the corn front, they say they're only going to import 13. The USDA's got them at 90, you know, at 23 on the balance sheet. So there's just a lot of unknowns on this. And I think how we default back here at Ag Market is if you're profitable, you need to defend that. Because, you know, it wasn't just a few weeks ago. Everyone was wondering, how am I going to make money this growing cycle? You're getting the opportunity. We're saying don't let it slip away.
Yeah. Jim, you brought up a great point, and it's something that it's been developing for a while, and I think the South American bean crop estimates are a great example of it, that wide range of estimates deep into the growing season, the spread on some of these estimates that are important to the market are getting wider over time. You mentioned also the Chinese import estimates. It's creating more opportunity for somebody to be wrong, and it's creating more opportunity for volatility in the grains, correct?
You nailed it. If somebody's going to be wrong, the question is who's going to admit it? I mean, Essentially, you look at what's going on in the South American crop to the U.S. crop. At the end of the year, the numbers don't always match, and it's almost like we agree to disagree, and you know the market's just going to find an equilibrium. And I think how you gauge the market, Chip, for me in the South America crop size is watch what their basis is doing. You know, if they say the crop's not there, but the basis is going the wrong way and prices are going lower, that would tell me the market says it's there. If they say it's there, but the price is going up, that, you know, that tells you something else. I mean, that's one thing about our market. The market does not lie. It tells you what the value is every day. You may disagree with it. You may find it frustrating, but, you know, the market eventually will come to the right conclusion.
Yeah. Okay. Jim, does it feel to you like corn and soybeans are kind of changing roles? And I think it feels like they're changing roles at least until the end of June when we get the next acreage update. Thoughts?
Well, yeah. I mean, what we're looking at right now is, you know, the market, it's different than what it was. I mean, we're going to get the planting progress tonight, and the corn acres are going to be behind. But then you got to look at the bean acres. Like here in Illinois, interesting, Chip, I had a lot of customers today say, I can't get corn in the ground, but we're all planting beans today. Yeah. You know, and, you know, the bean acres have just gone, it has changed. I mean, the thing we're watching here, I think we had to point out, is that rally on Friday, we had a bearish report, but the market really went aggressive. And you're seeing it today, the bean oil up and the meal down. That all has to do with a rumor that the Biden administration is going to slap increased tariffs on used cooking oil, which in essence has been flooding into the market. It is the best carbon score you can get when you're trying to calculate it. So the renewable industry is bringing that in, and that has really impacted the bean oil. And I think that's part of the reason why the bean markets rallied the last two trading days. If that ends up just being a really bad rumor, and we've seen that in our career where a rumor just – that's all what it was, is the bad rumor. Yeah. And they don't ban that cooking oil. They don't raise the tariffs. You could see the bean oil go right back down to the contract lows, and that could bring the beans right back down again. So, you know, the headline for the beans the next couple of days is going to be, well, how does the Biden administration – are they going to increase those tariffs or not? But I searched everything I could. I can't find any – your validity one way or the other.
Jim, when I heard that, my thought was that's pretty deep in the weeds for this administration to be playing. If they start to adjust tariffs on imports of used cooking oil, which in reality are tainted cooking oil, because I don't think a lot of it has actually been used. They've just dirtied it up to give the impression that it's used to get in under the cooking oil, used cooking oil import stuff. But if they are that focused, where they could start bringing increased tariffs on that alone, that's a much greater understanding of the situation than what I think the Biden administration has probably got about the current situation.
I would agree. I mean, the reality is this renewable fuel situation is just growing. I think really what this is they're going to ban the importation of Chinese electric vehicles. Now, the reality is not banned, but tariff. The reality is, Chip, there's already tariff on the Chinese vehicles, like 23%. The talk is they're going to raise it to 100. At 23%, it doesn't fiscally make, you know, they can't bring them in now. Raising it is just more of a political stunt, in my opinion, anything else. And I think that's kind of where they're at this point. I agree with you. I don't think they're going to go into the weeds. And I mean, how long did it take just to get this new GREET model here? What, a week, 10 days ago? And they're still up in the air. For them to start trying to block that and this, and that, I would really be surprised if they do it. Now, maybe they're going to surprise me, but I agree. I think this is more somebody's kind of latched into, hey, they're going to ban these other, you know, they're going to do it. Now, the one thing I would caution, just in general, when they start raising tariffs, I mean, Trump raised the tariffs, Biden's raising a back end, Trump's threatening to raise it. You know, the Chinese did push back, and maybe, Chip, maybe we're getting a little bit of a warning flag from the Chinese because they've yet to buy a new crop bean ever for all delivery. And this is kind of, you know, they haven't done this for 12, 15 years. The Chinese may be trying to make a point that, hey, you keep raising these tariffs, you know, we're going to back away from your product. So whenever the government does something and gets involved in the market, there is kind of a whack-a-mole. You're going to have, you know, one thing affects another, and it's going to have a lot of volatility. So if, like I said, beans are rallied on this news, you've got beans over 12, you got a lot of beans left over, you might consider moving them before we find out what the administration is or isn't going to do, just to lay off some risk.
Interesting. Jim, dude, thank you so much for making time for us today. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, man. That is Jim McCormick, AgMarket.net, one of the co-founders over there at AgMarket.net, and hopping in and bringing the good stuff to the show this afternoon. Wow. Some of those rumors that get around the market, they happen really quick, and you almost need some sort of a knee-jerk reaction. We should maybe discuss that a little bit further when we come back to wrap it up.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Chong's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. You don't have to have an amazing race to the doctor, but you should make time for routine cancer screenings.
I schedule my mammogram and other cancer screenings around my birthday and then treat myself to lunch.
I do too, because, I mean, of course, everyone likes lunch.
The C word can be scary, but routine screenings can detect cancer before symptoms appear.
And early detection equals better outcomes.
Go to PreventCancer.org to find out which cancer screenings you need.
You spend your whole life on the soil, so it's like it's a part of you. We're doing conservation programs with the USDA. We've been doing no-till, nutrient management, and we do cover crops on the no-till stuff. These practices are really paying off. Our sugar beets have gone from 18 ton to we're pushing 35 to 40 ton now. When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. You're squawking over $20 billion. It's investment into the future for everybody.
John Burke is the owner of Burke Family Farms, Bay City, Michigan. John, tell me about how you use USDA conservation programs at your farm.
Well, over the years, we've been in numerous different programs, from the Conservation Security Program to the EQIP programs. We even had some local watershed programs. You know, we started reducing our tillage 30 years ago. So, you know, it was kind of an expensive process back then. So it was really nice to have some funding there from the USDA to kind of help cover some of them costs.
Absolutely. So staying consistent in the conservation effort is important in your practice, right?
Right. To stay in it consistently, it gets very expensive. So, you know, a lot of farmers will jump in and out of these programs because, you know, they get funding for a year or two and the funding disappears. So they really don't see a big benefit in a couple of years of cover cropping. You know, it takes 4, 5, 6 years sometimes before you see a huge benefit.
What is the status of that funding that's available through the IRA and other conservation programs? Is that funding in danger now?
From what I understand, yes, it is. If you're worried about climate change, this is how we protect the climate, is by sequestering that carbon. And we can do that very easily with no-till and cover crop. And if we stay in business, we can protect the climate. We can provide food at a cheaper price. Because if the farmers are not here in the U.S., what's our alternatives for food? You have to go across the pond somewhere and buy it.
Right. Food security is national security. That is John Burke, Burke Family Farms in Bay City, Michigan.
I taught for 20 years. Until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Great conversation there with Jim McCormick, AgMarket.net. We covered a lot of different topics, Davis. Everything kind of squared around that balance sheet, but it led to... Watch for your opportunities here, because when they do happen, you want to be in position so that you can take advantage of them and get ready to move. So,
A timely message with so much uncertainty around.
That's right. That's right. Markets are trying to figure out a lot of different things right now, and it can create some volatility in there. Okay, let's take a look at what's going on with the charts. A little direction there from Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Hey, Kerry, what's up?
Hey, Chip, not much. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. A little cloudy, a little cool. Looking for some sunshine here in northeast Iowa now.
There you go.
Yeah.
I hope you get it.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's go ahead and get us started. Well, first, don't forget, you can go to artacadvisory.com and get signed up for a 2-week free trial. Artac, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. All right, start us off with corn, Kerry.
Yeah, July corn, we've had a couple of near-term buy signals over the last month and a half or so that have quickly yielded a test of this long-term resistance area I've been mentioning on the show now for the last 2 or 3 months. It's in the 470s. It's a one-year channel top coming down on the weekly continuation chart. The continuation charts are the stringing together of previous high-volume contracts. It's the way to look at the markets longer term. It's at 471.5. all week long. We've got a 475 half high today. We close at 472 half. And with these longer term line studies, I like to provide a 1% violation threshold. And that 1% above 471 half is 476.25. So if we close Friday 476.25 or higher, we actually have a long term buy signal. And by that, I mean over the next 2 to 3 months, the summer rally, if you will, to 576.25. And that is like a 3-year channel top coming down that may well contain annual buying pressures. But I think a realistic 2 to 3 month target, 576.25, if we close Friday 576.25 or higher. Any daily settlement at 576.25 or higher, I think, is an indication that if you're short the market, you probably should liquidate at the very least and consider scaling into a long position. And if we close Friday at 476.25, you know, we're all in on the buy side over the next few months. Until then, This is inversely an area where we can top out into possibly through summer trade. Over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm expecting 445 even, provided we do not close at 476 and a quarter or higher. And over the next several months, we can unwind all the way back to that February low of 404 and a quarter. That is like a 4 or 5 year low that the March contract put out. And that is still in reach over the next few months. If we're unable to close above 471 half at the end of the week by a 1% margin. On to July wheat, very similar story here. Couple of meaningful 2 to 3 week buy signals over the last month or so that have quickly yielded a longer term resistance for the July wheat, the broader wheat market. I've got 695 and a quarter. Today's high was 694 and a quarter. We closed around 687. Even 695 and a quarter is also like a 1 year channel top that can contain buying into later summer. From here, we could, by later summer, fall all the way back to 530. The clarifier for that 530 objective would be a settlement of, say, over the next 3 to 5 weeks below 590. So holding below 695 and a quarter, 590 even, likely by the end of June. And if we close below 590 even, we've got a good summer high over the following month or two, all the way back to 530, where we could place a summer low. And inversely, 695 and a quarter is a significant upside pivot point for the broader wheat market. And if we can close above 695 and a quarter, and I need to throw in that 1% margin of 702 and a quarter, a Friday settlement, 702 and a quarter or higher, we've got a 2 to 3 month buy signal to 905 half. So I would expect the low $9 area within 2 to 3 months if we can close Friday 702 and three quarter or higher. And once again, any a daily settlement at 702 and a quarter or higher is reason enough to exit any short positions that may be had. And then you could also kind of scale into long position, but all in on the buy side with a Friday settlement of 702 and a quarter. Finally, July beans, they're kind of a different story altogether. We've got kind of this two-sided framework now that should play out into June below 1230 half. We are below that point right now in the low 1220s. So 1230 half is our ceiling, below which 1155 even is actually expected by the end of June, where we could actually bottom out through July. That's kind of a two-sided framework now. 1230 half, kind of a near to midterm ceiling, 1155 even a near to midterm floor. If we close Friday above 1230 half, then we've got a 3 to 5 week rally up to 1295 even, which is long-term resistance for the broader soybean market. It's a 3-year channel bottom. We settled below actually in early January, and it can actually contain buying through the rest of the year, and we can fall away from there. We need to get above 1295 even in the broader soybean market to then indicate 1425 over the following 2 to 3 3 to 5 months. But until then, that is our ceiling. And a downside, if over the next 3 to 5 weeks we close below 1155 even, we enter another 3 to 5 week sell signal down to 1085 even, which is long-term support able to contain annual selling pressures. But right now, we're in a two-sided framework into June, below 1230 half all the way down to 1155 even. And that's really all I got today, okay. Chip.
That's a lot. That is a lot that you just talked about right there, Kerry. And we are close to several of those points that you mentioned. So markets are going to be making some decisions.
Yeah,
markets are going to be making some decisions. Good stuff. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Go to artakadvisory.com. Get signed up for a 2-week trial. National Weather Service, Davis, 6 to 10-day outlook for May 19th through the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
We've got near-normal temperatures in the upper Midwest, in the upper Corn Belt. And I'm going to include most of Nebraska in that.
Mm-hmm.
Southeast Iowa, far southern Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, we're looking at mostly above-normal temperatures. We are definitely looking at above normal precipitation in the outlook for the Corn Belt. Jump out real quick to the 8 to 14 day. The below normal temperatures start to move into the center of the Corn Belt, including Iowa and northern Illinois. Above normal temperatures get pushed to the south, and above normal precipitation chances stick with us in the Corn Belt. Chuck Grassley, tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started Wesley Financial Group to do one thing, help people get out of their timeshare nightmare. When you